Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive with us. This one's going to be interesting. We're going to be examining the U.S. government through, well, a kind of unusual lens, the lens of psychopathy. And before you run away, I want to assure you that we haven't lost our minds. We're not saying that the United States is literally a psychopath.
Yeah.
But what we are going to do is use this as a metaphor to explore some maybe uncomfortable truths about how power operates in the world.
Yeah, it's like holding a funhouse mirror up to U.S. foreign policy. You know, you might get a little bit of a distorted image, but you also might see things that you wouldn't normally see.
And to help us explore these ideas today, we have this fascinating article from the Geopolitical Compass called Uncle Sam's Psychopathy, The Dark Side of U.S. Power. And this article really digs deep into how traits that we usually associate with psychopathy, things like grandiosity, lack of empathy, deceitfulness, and lack of remorse, how these things might actually show up in the actions of the U.S. government throughout history.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that we're not saying that everyone in the U.S. government is a psychopath.
Oh.
Even that any individual person in the U.S. government is. But we're kind of looking at how these traits manifest in systems and structures of power.
Right. It's not about individuals necessarily, but the way that the system itself might be set up to encourage these kinds of actions.
Yeah.
So let's start by defining what we're talking about. When we say psychopathy, what are the core traits or behaviors that we're referencing here?
Well, at its core, psychopathy is characterized by a very specific set of personality traits and behaviors. One of the most prominent ones is an inflated sense of self-importance, this grandiosity, where someone believes that they're superior to others, that the rules don't apply to them, that they're exceptional in some way.
And this goes hand in hand with a lack of empathy.
Yeah.
Which you mentioned earlier. So they have trouble understanding or relating to the feelings of other people.
Right. And that can obviously lead to very callous, even cruel behavior because there isn't that same sense of connection or care for the well-being of others.
Okay, so I can see how these traits might apply to an individual, but can't we really apply this concept of psychopathy to an entire nation state? I mean, isn't that a little extreme?
Well, it's definitely provocative.
Right.
But again, we're not suggesting that everyone in the U.S. is a psychopath, but instead we're asking whether these traits can be observed in the way that the system itself operates, in the actions that the government takes on the world stage.
So even if there aren't literal psychopaths running the show, the way the system's set up might encourage actions that resemble psychopathic behavior.
Exactly. And the article really goes into detail on how this might play out historically, starting with the very idea of manifest destiny.
Right. Manifest destiny. This belief that the United States was destined to expand across the continent, you know, the whole go west young man and all that. It's a very romanticized part of American history. But it also has a pretty dark side.
For sure. And it's that dark side that we're going to kind of examine here, because manifest destiny was used to justify the displacement and often very brutal treatment of white Americans.
And when we look at it through this lens of psychopathy, we can see that sense of grandiosity, this belief that American expansion was justified.
Inevitable, no matter the cost.
It's like someone who feels entitled to take what they want, even if it means hurting other people in the process.
And what's really concerning is that that type of thinking, it doesn't just disappear.
Right. And the article argues that we see echoes of this same mindset.
Right.
In more recent U.S. foreign policy as well. A prime example being the Vietnam War.
Yeah, the Vietnam War. A conflict that I think continues to haunt the American conscience.
Definitely. So how does the Vietnam War fit into this discussion of psychopathy?
One key aspect is how it was presented to the American public. It was sold as a fight for freedom and democracy, this noble effort to contain the spread of communism. But the reality, as we know, is much more complicated and frankly disturbing.
One event that really sticks out is the Gulf of Tonkin incident in 1964. This was a supposed attack on U.S. naval ships. That was used as justification to escalate American involvement in the war.
Right, and what's really striking about the Gulf of Tonkin incident is that it was later revealed to be, at best, a gross exaggeration of what actually happened, and at worst, a complete fabrication.
So essentially, the U.S. government used a manufactured crisis to manipulate public opinion and drag the country into a war based on false pretenses.
Exactly. And that manipulation, that willingness to deceive to achieve a political goal, aligns perfectly with those classic psychopathic traits that we were discussing earlier.
And of course, we can't forget the human cost of the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of Vietnamese civilians were killed, along with over 58,000 American soldiers.
A devastating loss of life. And yet, there was never really a full acknowledgement from the U.S. government. of the moral implications of its actions in Vietnam. There was no real reckoning with the consequences, no genuine expression of remorse for the suffering that was inflicted.
Again, this points to that chilling lack of remorse, which is a hallmark of psychopathy. And unfortunately, it seems like this pattern repeats itself throughout U.S. history. And I imagine that the Iraq War is another example of this.
Oh, absolutely. The Iraq War fits right into this. We see another conflict launched on the idea of protecting the United States from a threat. In this case, Saddam Hussein and his supposed WMDs.
Right. And once again, we see this manipulation of intelligence, this disregard for the lives of Iraqi civilians who are caught in the crossfire. And this justification of the invasion as liberation.
Even though the invasion led to all this chaos, instability, the deaths of so many Iraqi people, it's really tragic.
And if we're using this psychopathy metaphor, it really makes you question whether there was any real concern for the Iraqi people, or this is more about asserting dominance and control over a strategically important region.
Definitely. And the article connects the Iraq war to the broader war on terror. And the rise of drone warfare.
Right, the war on terror with its focus on preemptive strikes and this endless pursuit of enemies. It almost feels like it's created this global landscape where the U.S. can act with impunity.
Absolutely, and drone warfare has become a symbol of that. This ability to kill suspected enemies from afar, often with very little accountability for civilian casualties. It raises all sorts of ethical and legal questions.
I mean, on one hand, you have this advanced technology that can be used to target terrorists. But on the other hand, you have innocent people being killed in these strikes.
It's a very complex issue for sure. And when you look at it through this lens of psychopathy, this detachment from the consequences of violence becomes even more disturbing.
It's a really chilling thought. And as the article points out, this tendency, it isn't just limited to military actions. It can be seen in the use of economic sanctions as well.
Right. Sanctions are often presented as this more humane alternative to military intervention, but they can have a devastating impact on civilian populations, especially in countries that are already struggling.
The article gives the examples of Venezuela, Cuba, and Iran, where sanctions have caused food shortages, limited access to medicine. It's hard to see it as anything other than a form of collective punishment.
And that's where the idea of psychological warfare comes in, because the article argues that these sanctions are a way of trying to force compliance through economic pressure rather than direct military force.
But isn't there a difference between trying to achieve a foreign policy objective and intentionally inflicting suffering on people? I mean, where's the line?
Yeah, it's a question a lot of people grapple with, and the article doesn't really offer any easy answers. But it forces us to confront this uncomfortable truth that the pursuit of power can often come at a huge human cost.
So where does that leave us if we accept this metaphor that the U.S. government exhibits some of these psychopathic traits? What does that mean for the future? Is there any hope for change?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And the article does offer a few potential paths forward, although they're not easy.
Okay, so what are we talking about here?
Well, one key area is systemic reform, especially when it comes to things like campaign finance and military spending. The idea is to reduce the influence of corporate interests and the military-industrial complex, which are often seen as driving forces behind a lot of these behaviors.
So trying to shift the balance of power away from these entrenched interests and toward the needs of everyday people.
Exactly, both in the U.S. and around the world.
The article also highlights the importance of cultural healing. This idea that the U.S. needs to confront its history of violence and exploitation.
Right, acknowledging the harm that's been done in the name of these ideals.
So rethinking those narratives of American exceptionalism.
It's about creating a more honest and nuanced understanding of U.S. history and its role in the world, and fostering a deeper sense of empathy and accountability in the way that the government operates. The article also emphasizes the role of civil resistance and global solidarity movements.
So it's not enough to just hope for change from within the system.
Right. Real change often requires pressure from the outside, from people demanding a different way of doing things, a more humane approach to foreign policy.
That makes sense. But what about other countries? The U.S. isn't the only one engaging in questionable behavior.
That's true. And the article acknowledges that. But it argues that the U.S., as a global superpower, has a responsibility to set a better example.
Because if the most powerful country in the world is acting this way, what does that say about the state of global affairs?
Yeah, it's a sobering thought. And it brings us back to the power of this metaphor. It's not just about pointing fingers. It's about sparking a conversation, challenging assumptions, and ultimately inspiring action.
So it's about getting people to think critically about power.
Exactly how it operates, how decisions are made, and how those decisions affect the lives of others.
So after all of this deep dive into the dark side of U.S. power, what are we left with?
It's a lot to take in, for sure. But I think it comes down to a question of choice. Do we just accept the status quo, or do we demand something better?
Something more just, more compassionate.
Exactly, and that's a question that we all have to answer for ourselves, because the future really does depend on the choices we make.
Wow, that's a lot to think about. This whole psychopathy metaphor, it's definitely given me a new perspective. But before we wrap up, I want to go a little deeper. What are the psychological and moral implications of nation behaving in these ways?
That's a great question. And to really understand that, I think we have to look at the work of people like Michel Foucault and Edward Said.
Okay, I've heard of him.
They're both pretty influential thinkers.
Yeah.
Foucault was a French philosopher who focused on power dynamics, especially how power operates in institutions. And Said was a Palestinian-American literary critic who explored the relationship between the West and the East.
And how do their ideas relate to this psychopathy metaphor?
Well, both Foucault and Said help us understand how power dynamics, especially in the context of things like colonialism and imperialism, often involve this othering of entire groups of people.
Okay, othering, what does that mean exactly?
It's about creating a division between us and them, where they are seen as different, inferior somehow, less deserving of rights or compassion. It's a way dehumanizing people to justify harmful actions against them.
I can see how that plays into this whole psychopathy thing. If you don't see someone as fully human, it's much easier to treat them poorly.
Exactly. And when you combine that with the traits we've been talking about, the grandiosity, the lack of empathy, the deceit, it creates a really dangerous mix.
It allows a nation to do things that would be considered reprehensible if they were done by an individual.
Right. It's a sobering thought. It raises profound questions about the moral implications of this kind of behavior for a nation. If a country consistently acts in ways that are harmful, what does that do to the collective psyche of its people?
Yeah, it makes you wonder if it creates a kind of moral blindness, a disconnect between actions and consequences.
Absolutely, and it makes you question the long-term sustainability of such a system. Can a nation built on exploitation and violence truly thrive?
Those are some big questions, and I don't know if we can answer them definitively here, but I think we've raised some really important points. It's made me think about my own role in all of this.
Yeah, it really makes you think.
It does, and the article ends with this call to action. It challenges each of us to think about our own roles in this system. Are we complicit in these harmful behaviors, even in small ways? Or are we actively working to make things better?
It's a tough question, but it's an important one. We can't just sit back and hope someone else fixes it.
Right. We all have a responsibility to step up and do what we can.
And the article suggests that the U.S. needs to embrace a more multipolar world, one where power is shared more evenly and where cooperation guides international relations.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hopeful vision, but it's going to be tough to get there. It requires a huge shift in thinking, away from these zero-sum games, towards a future where everyone benefits.
And that's where the psychopathy metaphor comes in. It helps us start a conversation. It challenges our assumptions. And ultimately, I think it inspires us to act.
It's about looking in the mirror, both as individuals and as a society, and asking ourselves some tough questions about who we are and what we want the world to look like.
Exactly. So, as we wrap up this deep dive into the dark side of U.S. power, I want to encourage you to sit with these ideas. Think about what resonated with you and consider what actions you feel called to take.
Because awareness is always the first step. And even though this has been a challenging topic, I hope you found it as thought-provoking as we have.
I definitely have.
It's been great discussing this with you.
Likewise.
And thanks to everyone for tuning in to another deep dive. We'll catch you next time.